episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Be told.
Yeah. Look, honestly, yeah. Thank you, Bella, and thank you, Sarah. Look. Honestly, when it comes to that lovely lady, I mean, my favorite song of hers is "I Kissed a Girl." How do I do it? I kissed a girl. I liked it.
Oh, is that Katy Perry on the show? Oh no, it's Rollo. Shit. Such a good rendition.
No, it's Rollo.
I like Dark Horse.
I kissed a girl. I liked it.
No, I liked your other version better. That's depressing. So I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Sing the song about the time you kissed a guy.
I fucked a guy and I liked it.
Sorry, guys, that's
Yeah. No, right, please.
Sorry, really that was bad.
We don't need to do that.
The thing is...
We really don't need that detail.
What you said, she went up into space or something.
Katy Perry went to space?
There's no way that she went. And even Russell Brand, who was married to her for a little bit, when he was a famous movie star. What was it called?
He was very
honest about it. He said, "I want to be, shot off, but fucking like, was it like this rocket like looks like a penis?"
Yes, it's the same as TV show.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's the biggest fakest. It's more fake than the bloody moon landing,
Oh yeah.
There was another one of the rockets that Elon was playing around with, supposedly before going up and being able to come back down. Speaking of up and down, hot and cold. That one also looked like a penis. Yeah. But I guess rockets in general look like a penis. It's another monolith myth, right? Osiris's
pee-pee. It was like that Austin Powers one with the big
Vero was just posted thing.
That's so funny. That's so funny, that Austin Powers version of it.
I agree.
Well, because it's pointing out that's the symbolism. It's just like how they put monoliths up everywhere, right?
Looks exactly like Jeff Bezos, doesn't he? As, like Mr. Evil, doesn't he? Like the who plays Mr. Evil?
Mike Myers.
Michael Myers,
the Canadian. That's right.
Yep.
He looks 100%. Jeff Bezos, that's so good. I kissed a girl. I liked it. I just want to right now. I love it.
Do you like that song? You don't think that's a bad propaganda for our young ladies out there?
Yeah.
Is that good for a 13-year-old girl to listen to?
No, absolutely, 100%. Bad.
But Rollo's a bad boy. Rollo's a bad boy. He likes it.
I saw a bunch of blue Gillette bums that Rollo posted.
Yeah, what's the blue
Gillette
bums?
That looked good.
Yeah. were those bums, Rollo? I don't know what the context was for that.
Ooh.
The blue Gillette ladies.
Oh, sorry about that. Just
apologize. Why apologize?
Don't apologize.
No. I want
to. I'm gonna server boost it.
What was the context though? What were they doing? Were they going to space?
No, Sarah. So you're right. In the books, Snape. Okay. Are we going the gender swapping of Snape? So.
No, the race swapping. He's a black man still.
Yeah. So this is Sarah.
Black woman, that'd be funny, Snape.
Snape, it is described as having a sallow skin,
long greasy hair, and a hook nose.
Was
Snape Jewish?
Maybe.
Originally.
Well, and that's what's funny is because people can say when they do the race swapping, well, the original content never specifically described them. So, for instance, Hermione, in the Broadway show they did, The Cursed Child, Hermione is played, it's supposed to take place like in the future where they're all adults or something. It was not written by J.K. Rowling, but Hermione's played by a black woman. And people were like, well, that's weird because Hermione's not black. But then if you, technically, if you go in the books, they just said she had buck teeth and frizzy hair. Okay, a black girl could have buck teeth and frizzy hair. But you know how you know she's white? Her name was Hermione. Her parents were both dentists.
Yeah. How many black people?
And her last name's Granger. I just don't know black people who fit that. I'm not saying it doesn't ever exist. It's just, it's England. It's a really smart, preppy teacher's pet with buck teeth, frizzy hair, dentist parents with her name Hermione Granger. I just, that doesn't scream any other ethnicity but white to me. It doesn't scream Asian. It doesn't scream Indian. It doesn't scream anything. It just sounds like a white nerd, right? But a rich one too. Yep. Hermione Granger sounds very upper class. But with two dentist parents, woo, you know. But with Snape, they literally say.
How does she have buck teeth with dentist parents?
Yeah, she ends up doing a spell on her teeth to make them less buck.
They wouldn't help. She had to rely on magic.
Yeah, she had to do magic. And she did magic on her hair to make it less frizzy, too. She did. She became hot. But with Snape, it's funny because they literally do describe him as having sallow skin and a hook nose and greasy long hair. And the thing is with the greasy long hair bit, that doesn't describe black people either because they don't have greasy long hair. Like, that's not even – it's part of the charm. Actually, one of the good things about their hair is it doesn't get this – it's just not the same. It doesn't have the same –
Didn't the book say he had an afro comb, or am I getting that wrong?
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting it wrong, but you're getting it
but
right.
Alan Rickman. When
that's why it was such good casting. That's why it was such good cast. Sorry, I'm really soft in my
opinions. So who should they have cast? They should have cast the bad guy in the new what's it called?
Star Wars.
What's this? No, yeah, the Star Wars guy.
Yeah, what that kid. Yep, that would be good Snape.
That would have been the perfect casting.
What was his name?
I think it's Ken. I forget his name.
Rollo, I just listened to.
Yep. Hold on.
The show's by William Ramsey.
Okay.
And they were talking about. Yeah, they were talking about. They did a review of Angel Heart, the movie. He did it with a group of.
I like that movie. That's on my list of movies. Robert De Niro.
Oh, my God. That movie.
But
I
already
had
know
no
the spoiler.
Idea. I watched it. I watched that movie at least three times. I had zero idea of how dark that movie actually was.
Oh, really?
So I listened to a review. Oh, my God.
I've never seen it.
Different level.
So that's got De Niro and
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. And the other one.
He's
best friend.
I don't know about the best friend.
Hold on, I almost couldn't sleep last night.
I actually couldn't sleep because I put it on about, I don't know, when it came on about 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, I was listening to stuff, and all of a sudden William Ramsey interviewing, I forget the name of the guys. This group of guys, they kind of do this show about analyzing movies. And I was going, I've watched that movie at least 3 times. Nothing that they said registered with me until I heard it last night. And I was going, are you fucking serious? Is this actually what that movie actually implied? And if it did, Alan Parker, who's actually a CBD, the British royal family have given him the CBE, Commander of British Empire Medal.
Okay.
This is a film director has been given an award way bigger than OBE or anything like that. CBE.
I want Adam Driver is the one that should be playing Severus Snape. in the new.
Yes, I agree.
Adam Driver.
Absolutely, 100%.
He looks like...
Did you come up with that yourself, Rollo, or did you hear some other commentator tell you to do
it? No, he does. No, he looks
I agree in what you're saying. Adam Driver would work. I know what Adam Driver looks like. What I'm saying is, Rollo, did you come up with that, or did someone else tell you that?
He was... No, I saw it on... Twitter or X or whatever the hell.
Right, so someone else said it, is what I'm saying. That's what I was just asking.
Oh, he's 41? He looks way younger than that.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
The old dude is he's awesome.
Alan Rickman?
No. So Alan Rickman died in 2014. But yeah, so here we go. Out of the break?
We're out of the break? That happened 20 seconds ago.
All right, yeah. So 20 seconds ago. There you go. So we're talking about Harry Potter. And Harry Potter, like, seriously, I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I...
respect original content, proprietary original content. This is a thing where people like my sister or everybody else will say, but why do you care? Why do you care that they cast somebody different than the way they were written? And I think is people who say that aren't artists themselves. Because mate, when I make something...
I know you're not the biggest fan, but like you wouldn't mind the Marauder's Map, right, Rollo? Or, you know... Cut.
I just.
How many Horcruxes do you have?
Okay.
He doesn't know. Joel's a fan, apparently.
Again, I'm not huge.
Joel's a fan.
But the thing is, Adam Driver.
He's not Doctor Who. Rollo's not Doctor Who like when it comes to Harry Potter.
If I was going to recast Doctor Who, I would. Probably cast.
Not the same people.
Me.
Yeah. Hey, Rollo, to be honest, Rollo, I would agree that you should be the new Doctor Who. I'd agree with that. Because you know more about Doctor Who than anyone else. Anyone else.
Hold on. I would cast Gary Oldman.
As Doctor Who, I agree.
The next Doctor, you just mentioned it. Like, it just came out of the blue. There you go.
Gary Oldman. He would be the best Doctor Who.
But yeah, let me write the story, so.
Yep. I agree.
What would be the overarching plot of your Doctor Who?
He'd be off to a... Yeah, and the Daleks...
Off onto a what? You didn't say a full sentence. You said he'd be off to a... Where would he be off to?
He'd be somewhere else. Okay. So back back in 1963 what happened in 1963 on November
22nd? Kennedy got shot.
No, but the day before.
Same thing.
The day before, yeah. Which is actually, ironically, that was BBC. That's when it went to air.
Yep.
And nobody watched it. Yeah. I'm not joking. Yeah. So Gary Oldman.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer what you would have Gary Oldman do in your Doctor Who.
All right, Gary Oldman. All right, okay. So Gary Oldman goes off to a planet.
Okay.
What's
the plot here?
They're looking back on Earth, okay. And they're talking about the 2001. They're saying
they're talking about 9/11.
They're all a bunch of conspiracy theorists, and they're going no. There's no buildings can fall that way. No, but he's going.
Maybe on their planet they can. Maybe the physics are different on their planet.
That's it. That's the answer to that. Yeah.
Hey, Rollo, it's been a really good. I'm going to disappear very shortly.
All right, me too.
But you,
what are we going out with? What song?
We went out with Katy Perry, Hot and Cold.
We already,
oh,
we
I were, kissed a girl. I liked it.
No, please. Please, God. Not please, God, don't let him play that. No, Rollo, anything other than Katy Perry, I'll just say that.
Oh, anything other than Katy Perry?
I think we're already...
All right, okay, already, okay, okay. All right. Okay.
I think we've already done... our show.
Hold the forces. Here we go. Left.
Oh, here we go.
Wow.
There we go. We got it. I'm dancing as you hear it. Play it.
I was just having a joke.
All right. Hold on. Hold the. Now. We're
hold
have to
your
go
horses.
To, yeah, hold your horses. Now, it's. Where are we? It's a Rick and Roll. Now, it's called. What is it? Self indulgent. Okay. Now, what am I going to say?
I'll go through that. I'll have a look at. Have a look at what we can
now,
see.
Now, there's Snell Fenster, love-hate relationship. You want that one?
That's not a bad song.
Do you want it?
Love-hate. No, we don't have a love-hate.
After that, we've got Birdhouse in Your Soul. They might be giant.
No, the one before the first song.
The one before that
song.
Is Pulp. Pulp Spike Island.
Yeah, no, I already played that. That's already been
there. All right. Okay, so we're going to go next is...
Snell Fenster. There's a good song by Snell Fenster, though. It's really good. And that is out there fucking music, man. It's the guy from Split Ends doing a solo act in the 80s. I thought was really, really cool, but I can't remember the name of the song.
Name the song and we'll
it's Snell Fenster. It'll be Snell Fenster, and it's
How about we just do the love hate relationship?
Yeah, it's good. Go for that because we kind of have a love hate relationship sometimes.
We do.
But maybe good.
Right. I'm just gonna give it to Bella. I know.
I'm gonna go there.
I know. What's he doing?
Just playing it.
Oh, he's got it before I'm
done. He's playing it right now, so shut up.
Lock it up so far inside and throw away the key. Looking for the way out in a maze. Push me round, step on my toes, shoot bullets at my feet. Set the world on fire and make me run the flames. Look this building up and down, smash it, shake it to the ground. I love in relationship with you. We'll
Yeah, what was that? You're going to do the outro, Rollo? Schnell Fenster.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go.
Love-hate relationship.
Look, Sarah sent this directly to
Rick's
me.
Gone. If anyone wants to come out and be part of Truth Meets, come on now. Do it now. Give us the energy because we're not going to sit here with Rollo all night. All right, make it happen. Sarah, I know Sarah we've got a peak of 17 listeners online at the moment, so you better come out of the woodwork now if you're going to come and talk.
Very commanding.
That's a lot of what? Me?
It's very commanding, yeah.
Me commanding. Yeah. No, I'm just saying like this is only going to last so long. So people need to come out of the woodwork and talk if you want to be part of the show and let's do something. I just think that's a lot of people to have listening at home though. I must be like chewing up bandwidth.
It's nice.
Streaming.
Yeah, that many people want to listen to you and Rick Rollo. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was lower earlier. It like started to boost when you and I, but no one would have known you and I were here.
Yeah, because
you wouldn't know we're here, but it seemed to just start taking off probably because it was around 7 p.m. I would say. I think people.
So what is it, all Australians?
Guys, I think you guys started earlier and then people wouldn't know to tune in, but it started to take off.
But is it only Australians listening?
Sarah, this is what you sent directly to me. I know it's probably copyright. It's a Family Guy thing that you sent to me. There's no way to win this contest clean.
I didn't send that.
Yeah, you sent it to me.
When did I send that? I don't even recognize that. I've never seen that before.
I remember everything.
I never even saw that Family Guy.
I'm not sure you even remember your own name sometimes.
What's your middle name, Rollo?
Wait, let's have a guess. What'd you say? I was going to have a guessing game.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, don't say then. Don't say.
Okay, so Roland David.
No. It'd be...
Roland James.
No.
Ron Michael.
Frumpton.
Schnell Fester.
Yeah.
Schnell Fenster.
Rollo Schnell Fester.
No, I think it would be... If I had a son, Roland James sounds good.
I've always wanted to
it might happy. Be something I funny. It's happy. Like a meet the parents gag. It's like Rollo Gay or something.
Yeah.
But it's wrong.
Yeah, gay. Yeah.
Gay.
But
Faye.
Patrick is always. Hey, play.
Rollo Barbara.
Oh. What about. We're almost. We're going to get a new. What's it called? You guys like comedy, right?
The Irishman
is about to make a new. Can you play the what's it called?
We're not here to play lots of clips. What was your middle name?
Oh, okay. Patrick.
Roland Patrick.
No, it's not.
Roland Patrick.
I have a feeling I would have known.
I guarantee. Why would I?
Oh, I know what it is. Hayes. Roland Patrick Hayes. Sorry, I just doxed you completely. Cut that out.
I'm Irish. It's Patrick. It's like Patty.
You can drink like an Irishman too.
I'm Irish. I can talk like an Irishman. And
I'm Irish too. I love
Roland Kirkpatrick.
Are you Catholic?
That's it. Yeah. You say Roland the right way. Not Roland. Roland. Roland.
Is your family Catholic?
I didn't like being called Roland. Hey, can you play that song?
Roland.
Keep that
Roland.
Song.
Roland.
Yeah, I
Those
know.
Prices, Roland.
I was so teased as a kid having the name Roland. Roland. Keep those doggers. What's wrong with that song?
No, that it's song is from it's in America. An awesome song, everybody isn't it? My age would know it as the Walmart. Commercial.
Rawhide.
Didn't they do Rawhide on the Blues Brothers, or am I thinking of something else? Was that Riders on the Storm? No. Well, Rawhide was in Blues Brothers, wasn't it?
I never saw Blues Brothers.
He died young. What was his name?
The Saturday Night Live guy.
The Belushi. The Belushi.
John Belushi.
He died young. Yeah. Man, I love when it comes to doing illicit, let's say that word. I loved it. those.
I was right. The Blues Brothers did sing Rawhide, and it was when they were behind the chicken wire because everyone throws stuff at them.
Do it.
We'll get it on there. I'll give it a sec.
All right.
Wait, they're playing something else. It must change when they don't like that, so they play something else.
Mm.
Yeah, they played blues and no one liked it, so they changed halfway through.
Rolling, 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 though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rolling, rawhide. Rain and wind and weather, hell bent for leather, wishing my gal was by my side. All the things I'm missing.
It's such a dim view of Americans. They're all rednecks who love this.
End of my life. Move 'em on,
hit 'em up,
hit 'em up,
move 'em on,
move 'em on,
hit 'em up,
rawhide,
cut 'em out,
ride 'em in,
cut 'em out,
cut 'em out, ride 'em in, rawhide.
Whoa, DJ, rolling, 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 DJ.
This isn't traumatic for you, is it? Have another shot. Where'd you get a whip from? You didn't know that song. It's a real song.
What about Whip it good? Crack that whip.
Yeah,
I know. I remember when I was teased mentally with my name Roland.
First time I've heard you use the phrase "I was teased mercilessly," and
he got
kind of a victim complex. Because I've heard that more than once in regards to different things.
He said he was teased mercilessly because he had a back brace because he had scoliosis.
Yeah, right.
So he's some nerd named Roland with a scoliosis back brace.
He's teased mercilessly for his name,
and he went for computer science in school. So he's a real geek.
Someone's joined us. Hello.
And then he was teased mercilessly for liking Devo.
Oh, there we go. Oh, this is awesome. I love this song.
You can whip it. Hey, you know Devo, the guy from Devo did the theme song to the cartoon Rugrats from when I was a kid. You remember that show Rugrats, Joel?
Yeah, Nickelodeon, right?
That was the Devo guy who made it.
They got these weird Lego helmets on.
Yeah, they're real out there.
That's awesome.
They're probably very annoying to hang out with. I couldn't date a guy who walked around like that trying to be cool.
All right, here we go.
It's only for the show.
Look how different I am.
Shake it up. Hey, go forward. Move ahead. We need Frank here for the karaoke. Cocaine. To whip it. Oh, such a good song. Oh man, I've done so much coke tonight. Too much coke. Oh, there I am. I'm not talking sober. I've had a bottle of bloody whiskey tonight. I'm so drug fucked tonight.
Whip it good.
Truth.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Susie's joined us now.
Hey, good evening.
Susie, good evening, Susie.
Hello. How are you?
I was confused. Like, I woke up a little bit ago. I looked at the phone. I'm like, why are Rick and Rolo muted listening to Katy Perry? It was, what's going on here?
Oh, it was all very real. That wasn't a dream.
No, what's it called? A fever dream? Is that called a fever dream?
Yeah,
we still got, hey, Susie, welcome. Welcome. Yeah, welcome,
felt
welcome
like a fever dream.
To Truth Beats. What's it called? Rollo's Balcony or something. What are we calling it tonight?
The
Rick and Rollo?
The show after.
Susie?
Sure.
Susie, Rollo's it's up to Balcony. You, apparently. It's up to you. Susie's got to name it.
Well, apparently.
The Susie right, Show.
Susie says. You know what really grinds my gears? That'd be a great show. Yeah. I'd love to hear Susie do that. Her opinions on things like products she's tried. That'd be good. You'd be good.
Sure, I'm so happy to hear your voice again.
I'm happy to hear your voice. Really, you have such a nice, happy, cheerful voice. I love.
Yeah, she
voice.
Does very, very cheerful. Cool. It makes
Susie,
feel warm
you sound
and cozy.
So cute.
I'm jealous of Wayne.
He doesn't like my voice.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, like, you guys are talking about Rawhide.
Mm.
But for me, Rawhide means a 20-year-old Clint Eastwood washing up with his shirt off.
What was this, a movie?
If you guys ever watched that show?
No.
No, there was a show called Rawhide with Clint Eastwood when he was, like, 20 years old.
What?
Like, for
no,
real.
I haven't heard of
young,
that.
It's a really good show.
What was the genre? What was it about?
Well, they, you know, obviously they sing the song, Hit 'em Up, Move 'em
In. Was it a Western?
Totally.
Okay.
And, yeah, but Clint Eastwood.
So that must have been one of the first things he was known for then.
Oh, that's where those pictures come from. I see the picture. Joel has the pictures up
that'd
right now.
That'd be,
like that. He was so cute when he was younger, huh?
Ooh.
Yeah, he was very.
That's
good
the only
looking.
Thing that makes me like feel like a cougar when I see that. I'm like, ooh.
Oh, but he still looks mature enough
years
to
old.
Me. Yeah, but in these pictures, he still looks pretty good. He doesn't look too baby. He doesn't look like a baby. He looks good to go.
You're right.
There's this K-pop band I was looking at, and they're in their 20s, but they look about 10, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't look at them because I actually feel like I should go to jail. This guy, if he's in his 20s, he looks good though. He looks totally good to go.
Then, if he was in this TV show, what was the first movie that became
you
his big
what?
Break?
He was in a Mystery Science Theater, one of the bad movies they did. He had it had to be like one of his very first credited roles. He had this very small role as a scientist in the background, like doing like experiments on bunnies or something. And it was Baby Clint Eastwood, way back before he was ever famous. It was called, I think. I don't know. It was about a big giant grasshopper that was taking over the world. One of those C-list movies. So it was way before he ever got his big break. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? Was that? What was this?
I'm just looking at some titles now. Escape from Alcatraz. I remember that. Heartbreak Ridge. I was a big fan of that. Yeah, I watched that a million times as a kid.
I eat
Bridges of Madison County, 1995, Grand Prix. But what was the early one? What was his the big magnum gun? The
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
No.
Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry. That's not even mentioned here in Wiki. It's like not on the top of the Wiki that he was in Dirty Harry. That's weird.
Because he's known now as
a Dirty Harry was an early role.
He was very
was
cute.
He in Kelly's Heroes?
Now,
what am I imagining things?
I know I've mentioned this before, but on the Miles Mathis forum, Cutting Through the Fog, there was a guy on there who was, he's a extra. He lives in LA and he does extra work on movies and TV shows. So he's met and come across a lot of different celebrities over the years. And he said Clint Eastwood was very nice in person, but very soft and almost effeminate in person. Not like the characters he plays. A little bit more just soft, shy, quiet, and femmy, sort of. Not quite like what he portrays, the strong guy attitude. But nice, though. That's good.
He was in Kelly's Heroes. I knew it. But just a few years before that, Paint Your Wagon, that joke they made in The Simpsons. You're going to paint your wagon. We're going to paint it good. Probably not a commercial success. I remember Kelly's Heroes. He was in that. Very young there, though.
There was a movie he did, Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Yeah, I just saw Two Mules for Sister Sarah. That's nice.
I remember Play Misty for Me. He was a DJ.
Cool. Radio, yeah. Play Misty for Me.
Then you got Dirty Harry. High Plains Drifter. I don't know the movie. I just know that name is the name.
You know, Gran Torino is one of my top three that was, favorite movies.
Where he's an old guy with the Asians.
I fucking love that movie.
I've never seen it.
It's just, I mean...
Escape from Alcatraz was good. That was one of those more memorable ones.
I think he's a bad actor, though.
I have a particular fondness for Heartbreak Ridge. I don't think that was one of the big commercially successful ones, but my parents had it taped off television, so I watched that like 1,000 times as a kid. I know that backwards and forwards.
Which is such a cute thing.
But like Play Misty for Me was a weird break where he's a DJ. But then what's the other one where he's like a cat burglar who witnesses a murder in someone's... He's in a closet or something and he witnesses a murder? What's that one called? I know people know that story. I remember seeing it.
I've never seen any of his stuff except Heartbreak Ridge. I thought he was bad. But Heartbreak Ridge, it's funny because when I was young, me and my friends would get really high and watch that movie. And I think we watched it about 500 times, but I can't remember any of it for the life of me. So I don't know. It was just a movie that made us laugh really hard. Like, we used to like to watch things and make fun of it, right? And they had a house. They were roommates, and they had a house, but there was no cable or anything. But they had a TV, and I brought my little PlayStation 2 over to play DVDs. So we just raided our parents' house for DVDs, and Heartbreak Ridge was one of them. So that was one of the movies we watched over and over again when we were high and drunk as, like, 20-year-olds. And it just cracked me up because I just thought it was so ridiculous and crazy, but... I can't remember it. I don't remember anything except him telling the black kid, Jesus loves you. And he says, I know that. And I piss napalm and I eat this for breakfast. And that's all I remember.
I could recite every line out of that movie.
And there's like a love story.
That's a weird connection Sarah and I have to the fact that she watched that movie so many times and I saw it so many times as a kid. Funny. And it's not a popular movie. Why would we? It was just on a tape at my house. Taped off the television, and Sarah, how did you have it? Like DVD?
One of our friends had it on. Yeah. Their parents had it on.
And why would we both have watched that movie so many times? It's not a popular one. It's just some random.
But I don't remember it.
I'm a big fan.
Another one we watched too was the Harry Potters and some of the early Harry Potters, and then what was that? 8 Mile. Again, I don't remember that one either, but that one was so funny. I remember one time, though, I was really high and I was getting uncomfortable because I felt like it was very loud and aggressive and I couldn't handle it. So I went in the other room. I was like, I don't want to watch this. But other times I watched and it was really funny. But again, I can't remember. I guess that's what we did to me when I was a kid. I don't remember anything. Oh, Master of Disguise. I remember that was another one we watched. Again, can't tell you anything about it. Just Dana Carvey. Should watch that one again.
Was it Absolute Power?
I was just hovering over that. Absolute Power, 1997. Is that's the one with the, Clint Eastwood is a master jewel thief.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he's like a cat burglar he's in someone's closet with a one-way mirror when a murder or something happens and then, he's a witness to it. Yeah, Absolute Power. But then he goes off into Space Cowboys, so that's like with Tommy Lee Jones and that, right? Like, he's a space cowboy now. He went from the Wild West to the Space West. Heartbreak Ridge, surprisingly late, 1986.
Well, it looks like Rollo left. Where'd he go?
He got bored by talking about Clint Eastwood.
Why? You think he loves movies?
Well, he said he wanted to get going. He just usually doesn't actually do it. He just says he's going
to
do it.
He likes to just play clips.
It's quite the list of films he's been in here.
Prolific actor.
And still, plenty since. I think of Gran Torino like a recent one he did, but you got to remember that's now like 2008. It's a while back now.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been in plenty since. American Sniper.
I love Gran Torino. I just the ending. I can't help it. I cry every time. It's very moving to me. We set up a big screen outside and project movies in the summer. And my neighbor came over and she watched Gran Torino up until right before he died and she left. She's like, well, I'm going to go now. I'm like, you can't go now. You can't go now. Just stay 5 more minutes. Why would you watch a movie and then there's 7 minutes left and she leaves.
I'm like, she's like, I think I get how it's going. I get it.
She's
I've never seen it.
I wrote notes down, Sarah, and I can't find it right now, but you know, the series, there was a series, not Jane Eyre, but something else that you, something along those lines. Not such as the P.
Pride and Prejudice? No,
yeah, maybe that's it.
Or
but
Sense and Sense
I heard
and
an, or something like that. I think it was Pride and Prejudice.
Persuasion.
I didn't watch it, but I love Jane Eyre. I love that book. I've read it maybe 3 times. I've highlighted all the little parts I like, but I didn't think I would like it.
And Jane Eyre is the one with Worcester, right? Mm-hmm. And then Pride and Prejudice is that other one. Yeah, okay.
That's what Darcy.
I heard an early...
Yeah. Mr. Darcy,
an
right,
early,
gotcha.
Yeah, I heard an early episode from like 2018 where Rollo is telling Bellicet that he loved Pride and Prejudice and you should watch it. And I thought, oh, that's another thing because you like that too, Sarah. And I was... It's just
that's
kind of
funny.
Not,
well,
a big,
I,
not a big deal, but it just made me laugh.
I love, there's this BBC miniseries, 1995, Pride and Prejudice, that I really like because it's super accurate to the book and the fashion is really accurate. There's a pet peeve of mine when historical costumes are so off base, and they almost always are. So I don't know why that just really bugs me, because I just feel like you guys are spending all this time and money making this movie. Just take about 5 minutes, like 5 minutes to go research what did people wear back then. That's all it takes. And right. So this one had really, it was really accurate in that way to the book and everything. And Jane Eyre, there was one that was super accurate to the book, and it was in 70s or 80s with Joel, what was that guy's name? He was James Bond later on. Oh, what was his name?
Timothy Dalton.
And he played Rochester. But it was a BBC miniseries, and it had a feeling sort of like a play. You know, like the sets were bad and everything. But it was super accurate, at least.
After I read that book, it's been years, I tried to watch every rendition of that show or book. And I remember thinking, it's crazy how different they all are. And some were good, some were, you know. But I
watched a lot of them too, and there was one that came out recently, like in 2018 or 16 or something like that, with that Mia Wasikowska girl.
Huh.
She was the girl that was in those Alice in Wonderland movies, those Tim Burton movies, and she plays Jane. And they have
that guy.
It was a movie, and that guy, gosh, what was his name now? I can't remember. He was good looking. They always make Rochester too good looking because he's supposed to be ugly, but, you know, it's a movie. So they need the female audience to be able to fall in love with him. So they have to make him good looking, but he's supposed to be ugly. But I can't remember who the guy was, but that was decent considering it's a movie. It's hard to adapt long novels into movies because you have to cut and change so much to make it fit an hour and a half to 2 hours, right? So miniseries work better for that. But this one was pretty cool because it was, I thought they got the look of Jane right, because they always cast women who look too old and pretty, where she's supposed to be only 19 years old. Like, she's supposed to look very young, and she's supposed to be very small and elfish looking, you know, but that's just me being picky. But somebody...
I think what really... Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
You do. You do it. You're the expert.
I was changing because somebody on JLB server had sent me a message about Middlemarch. They recommended George Eliot's Middlemarch and also a BBC series about that too. But I have read Middlemarch. I've read it before, but it's been a really long time.
Never even heard of it.
George Eliot was one of those authors. It's a female, but she used the name George Eliot so that I don't know, maybe people would buy her books. But she was very famous even while she was alive. So it's one of those, you know, there's some people you find out their books didn't take off till later on. But Dickens was popular while he was alive, and so was she, George Eliot. But Middlemarch, I don't remember what it's about, but I do remember I read it a long time ago. But I'm going to be reading it again soon. I'm going through this list of world's greatest books, this list compiled in like 1910. And I'm going down through them. And I've read a lot of them, but it was like 10 years ago. So I'm going to reread them. Anyways, we'll probably just put everybody to sleep on book talk because nobody cares. I love old books. I just started Lady Audley's Secret from 1861.
Yeah, I think that Jane Eyre just drew me in because she was so mistreated and defiant and shuffled around as a young person. And
yeah, she had a really crappy childhood, that's for sure.
I could relate. I was like, well, I mean, it's not like I grew up in some orphanage and my parents hated me or something, but it's just something it was unexpected, and I liked that about it, and just her thoughts and just being like over there and no one cares about you, and but then she ends up being cool. And I don't know, I
loved
really her.
It's like one of my favorite books.
Yeah,
if I ever had a kid, I would name her Jane. If I ever had a daughter, cool. Is my favorite
Jane JLB.
Yeah, Jane LB, Jane LeBon Sutton.
Yeah,
Janal sounds a lot like anal, though. So I don't know if that's a good idea.
Janal.
James or Wayne Sexton. No, sorry.
No, we're Dr. Lube. We all know that one.
That was in the Pulse nightclub shootings. Angel Colin was treated by Dr. Lube. This is literally the official story. A gay boy named Angel Colin got shot, and his doctor was named Dr. Lube. Come on. I mean,
I can imagine a bunch of rich folks sitting around.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
It must just be so. I can only imagine. I'd love to be a fly on the wall while they come up with this stuff. Maybe they just have AI do it. And it's not even supposed to be funny. It's just AI doesn't understand humor, and it just knows gay stuff, anal, colons, lube, and doesn't like know the pun. Because they probably have just been using AI to make these stories, I would think. Why even hire anybody? Well, the rich kids have to have a job too, you know. You know how like back in the day the rich kids would be like barristers and property owners and things? Well, the rich kids have to have something to do too. They do modern art. That's one of the things the rich kids go off and do. They smear poop on a wall and say it's art.
What do you guys been doing? What's life like?
The weather's been so nice here. We're in autumn now, so it's really, really nice here. Really good temperatures. It's like 66, 70 degrees, like sunny and like that just beautiful autumn air.
Yeah.
And then I've been... Yeah, Joel's been working early, like 2 a.m.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he's working at that's 5 a.m.
Super early.
Yeah. Then I've been writing lately, and I just counted. So I've started this thing where I'm writing this kid's book, and I know everybody says I'm writing a book, right? Well, maybe if I say it on record, it'll be
accountability. I'm going to order that book.
Yeah, maybe it'll be accountability. Like, well, you have to finish it now, Sarah. You said to everybody that you're doing it. You don't want to look like an idiot. But I've just counted. I've got 39,000 words down. So I'm like halfway through, because a kid's book should be from 60 to 80,000. I'd like it to be on the higher end of that, because I want it to be for like older 11 to 13 year olds. And so I've been working on that. And that's been, that's like what I've been doing lately. And that's fun. Although it's, you know, what's really weird about...
Can you, some kind of plot or anything? Or
yes, after the break, Rick and Rollo.
Yeah.
No matter what you say...
You're listening to Another Conversation.
Or your preoccupation...
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
So it's like a kid's fantasy book, and it's a girl who goes into a magical realm. How do I say it? Because it's like there's so much that goes on, and you don't want to give too much away anywhere. She goes off into some magical realm and realizes that she's the true princess of that realm, And that realm's actually the real world. And this realm that we've been living in is actually the world filled with dark fairy magic the whole time, where they trick you into believing what's real isn't and what isn't is. And now there's this whole curse and plot that she's figuring out with her lineage and her background, that it's up to her, her destiny, to save the realm, basically. It's like the typical hero's journey type children's awesome. Fantasy. But with, like, I just remember when I was a kid, I loved to read so much. And I specifically remember the kind of books that I really got into and that felt so visceral. They felt so real, like I was really in another world. And there were usually things like that, like that were like fantastical fantasy. So things like fairies and other realms, and the descriptions of like a cozy cottage with, you know, herbs hanging from the ceiling, all those things, like it was so impactful to me as a kid. When you're a kid, everything is like four dimensional. Everything's hyper visceral. You feel it, you taste it. I don't know. It's part of our imagination when we're kids. So I remember I loved stories like that. So I'm just writing a story for my younger self, if you know what I mean. Like, what kind of story would little Sarah have loved?
That's super cool.
And on top of it, there's so many twists and turns and hidden things. Like, there's all these twists that happen where, you know, it leaves you on a cliffhanger. And then when you find out there's this one guy is the bad guy, that this whole time you don't know that. You think he's the ally, but he's actually the bad guy and he's here to, you know, blah, 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 blah. So
don't say too much. I'm more
exactly,
than
exactly. So it's, I don't want to say too much, but it's, but I want to actually do it and finish it, because I think that it would be, it's just a cool thing to do. Like, again, I don't work, I don't have a job, and this could be like a really cool accomplishment you can have in your life. Who's written a book? And then what if you write a book and you sell it, you give it to an agent, and an agent can actually sell it to a publisher and it gets published? I mean, geez, it's not to get rich or anything, but you did that, you know? And a lot of kids' books today are woke agenda stuff. How nice to just have a kid's book that's just a nice book for kids to have fun. You know, it's not about gay, autistic retards in wheelchairs and that are fat and ugly. It's not about that. It's not trying to appease some weird, freaky adult.
Why do they have to be in a wheelchair?
Because you have to make sure the disabled are seen and heard.
Gay, autistic, and fat, in a wheelchair.
Yeah. There's got to be all sorts of problems, but kids that's just want a good funny. Story. And it's like, we're appeasing all these sick mental adults. But an 8-year-old just wants to read a happy story about like a girl doing cool stuff in a cool place. But if I write another book, though, I would make the main character a boy strategically, because girls are not unisex. Only girls will read a story with a girl protagonist, period, end of story, unless they're a very open-minded boy. Girls will read boys and girls. Girls will read books that have a boy character or a girl character. So your audience doubles if you make the main character a boy. So even though it's a girl on a journey with two boys, so it's her and two boys, still, the girl is the main character. Boys will be turned off immediately upon opening it and seeing the name of a girl on the page, right? So unfortunately, boys are not unisex, but girls are. So that's why Harry Potter had to be Harry Potter, right? Like, it has to be a boy, because if you want it to reach...
Yeah, it's not Harriet Potter.
Yeah, well, maybe now it will be. And she'll be Chinese. But what I think is really cool is, because I've written nonfiction. I'm good at writing nonfiction, like, you know, just essay type things. It's straightforward. Fiction's hard. But as I'm writing it, I'm realizing like, oh, this is so weird. I encourage everybody to like just start like writing something, because what starts happening is the story just kind of starts writing itself. Like, all of a sudden, it just starts creating itself. I don't know. You're tapping into something. That's why I like creative works, because it's like you're tapping into the ether, you know, the creator. So because even when I look back at what I've written so far, I'm like, where did that come from? Like, I didn't come up with it. I don't know. Like, I just had this idea. Oh, a girl finds a magical realm. And now all of a sudden it's taken this crazy, it's become so intricate, and all these characters, where'd they come from? I don't know. So I would encourage everybody to try it just for fun, because it kind of makes you realize like you're just an antenna and you can channel the creator itself. Like, the thing that created you, you didn't create yourself, you know. So something created you, but that thing is in and with you, and you can also create things. Like, I don't know. It's something crazy. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's hidden things within ourselves that we don't know about until we write shit down and think about it.
Well, and it's hard because it's like, again, writing fiction. I tried before, but I plotted it out anally, like, you know, every scene, everything super hyper planned out, which is actually a cool way to do it. But this time I did the opposite. I went in with nothing. I just like going as I go. And it's easier because I don't know. It just kind of goes where it naturally goes, if you know what I mean. Like it naturally, the story starts making itself. The characters start creating themselves. I just think that's so cool. It makes you think back to when you're a kid, when you could play imaginary games with your toys and your dolls and things, and you could create this whole fantastical realm of anything. And it's like, well, we can still do that. And it's not like you have to be a super talented writer. I feel like if you can read, if you're a reader, if you're literary in any sense, you can probably write halfway decent. It doesn't have to be Tolstoy, you know.
Tolstoy.
I love Anna Karenina. I mean, that's like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I tried reading War and Peace, but there's too many scenes that are political in nature that I'm not interested in, but I'd have to give it another chance.
No, when you said wheelchair, I got triggered as a children's book. When I go to the library, I don't know, I'm going to say like kindergarten through third or fourth grade or something, I just kept getting the same book about a grandpa who pushes his granddaughter in a stroller.
Oh.
And he's just, you know, they run through the sprinkler and they go here and there and they do all these fun things together. And then eventually he gets old and ends up in a wheelchair.
Oh,
now she's pushing him.
Oh, cute.
And they do all the same things, but now she's bigger and can. Man, I read that book so many times. It's the only book. And like, even my teachers were like, hello, there's other books here.
Oh, you love that one. That's so cute.
And then when I was a babysitter, I was like, man, I got to find that book. And I ordered it from eBay and I got it. And I started crying when I was reading this book to these little kids. And they're looking at me like, why is she crying?
But there was famous one that was the same that I loved. And then I got that from my mom when I was older for her birthday one day. And it made her cry, too, because she used to read it to us. What's it called? Aww. It has like a blue cover and it shows a little baby throwing like a watch into the toilet, like a painting. And it's called like I'll Love You Forever or something. I'll Love You Forever. And it's the mother always holding the baby and rocking him and singing
love you
the
forever,
song.
I'll love you forever. You for always.
Yes, exactly. And then when or she's something. An old lady, he's holding her and rocking her and singing her that song.
Aww.
And I thought that was so cute. And so my mom used to read that to us, and she made up a melody for the song, so she'd sing it when that part came up. And so then for her birthday, I got that for her once, and she cried. But then I didn't realize that's actually like a super duper popular book. It's everywhere, like at Target, at Walmart. It's like right there in the front. It's like The Hungry Caterpillar or something. It's like, oh, I thought it was an obscure book I was getting from my childhood, but no, it's very, very popular. But but that is so cute. Still, like The Giving Tree too.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like in The Giving Tree too?
Yeah.
I want to do that. I want to write a children, like a picture book and illustrate it. That'd be fun.
Pop-up books were cool.
Ooh, yeah. Pop-up books are really cool.
I like those. You could do one with like, you know, wheelchairs and penises popping up into crazy.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
I've got a copy of the Kama Sutra pop-up book. That's a good one.
You know what I think is really funny? And I know this is going to sound really racist, and I don't mean it like this. I'm just saying what everybody else is thinking. So Indian people were like the sexy ones? Like they were the ones who had sexy sex? Indian? Huh. It's like I just wouldn't have
just
thought
that. Just because they came up with the Kama Sutra doesn't mean they were having sexy sex. What are you talking about?
Well, I just don't think of Indians that way. Am I racist? I don't think of
When I say the pop-up book thing is not just a joke. I do have an actual pop-up.
I know you showed it to
me. You know, the little leaf, you pull a little tab and they pop up. There's like a whole frame with like lowering a chick onto a... it's weird.
Through the basket.
Yeah, it's
my
a whole...
Goodness.
There's contraptions.
I thought you were joking.
There's contraptions and stuff. It's...
No, he did have that pop-up. I remember he showed it to me on webcam before.
I don't think there's many Indians in porn, though. So it's like hard. They must keep it all in the down low.
Maybe they have their own. Because
they're not known. They must be separate. There must be like separate Indian porn sites. Because like
Punjabi pussy.
You don't think of
Punani Punjab. Yeah. Punjabi Punani.
you guys think of that when you think
of these sexy thoughts. I'm thinking of like white chicks. You don't think of like a bunch of Indian stuff. But then they got all these books, these supposedly ancient books about how to have sex.
Like, and then yeah,
the pop up book's kind of a gimmick, but
there is a real
Kama Sutra pop up version. So you know you pull the tab and a whole bunch of stuff levers up, and then you pull the tab back and forth.
Maybe
and like
porn.
Actions. It's pretty crazy.
That's what you needed for porn back then, I guess.
There was a Family Guy, no, South Park, when they
it's good to get a 3D demonstration.
Mm-hmm. And so they were drawing porn and going into a tent or something, which is a drawing, a terrible drawing of something. Like all the dudes were freaking out. Do you guys remember that South Park?
No,
I don't know if you watched
I don't
all
remember
of them.
The...
It's hard to remember. But you guys remind me, like you say such crazy shit. So we just went to Florida for just like three full days, you know. Yeah, and we went to Fort Myers to surprise my mother-in-law, who snowbirds there.
Oh, okay. Anyway, to Fort Myers.
There was this there was a really beautiful lanai with all sorts of couches and really comfortable looking furniture, but when you walk out there it says, "Hello, you are being recorded." And I'm like, well, I don't mind, you know, just sitting there and reading a book if I'm being recorded. But the shit we say,
yes, I know.
Can't have that. That's what you guys remind me of. You say the funniest things. And like, so we were standing out front under, like, there was no cameras, like right by the front door. There was one, you know, right next to the driveway, but it couldn't see us. And we say the craziest shit, and I'm like, we can't imagine if we were saying this out on the lanai, and you know, the renters were listening to us. I don't know if they could hear us or not, you know. So it was like, we didn't sit out there at all.
I know, I have that problem too, and it's funny because here I don't. Sometimes the next day I'll be like, oh, I shouldn't have said that and that. But you know what makes me feel better is that it's like it. Nobody will ever hear it. It'll just disappear. Like after whoever heard it when it aired, heard it, and that's it. And then it's gone. It's not like I'm, you know,
you're holding out a lot of hope for Truth Meets success.
Yeah. Or for me, actually,
I hope lots of people will hear this. Why do you not?
No, I know, but it's, I don't know. I just feel like it's so anonymous in a way, and it just disappears.
It's going to be big and successful. Have positive thoughts.
Well, I was actually thinking that before when I was thinking, what if I, like, let's just.
What if you're the one who's spiritually holding us back with all this negativity?
Well, what I was thinking is, what if I, like in a fantasy, what if I published a book and then people actually knew my name? Like, or not because I'm a conspiracy. I don't care if people hear I'm conspiracy, but I just say the F word a lot. I swear a lot. I say a lot of things that are just raunchy, and it's not, I don't mind. I'm not one of those people. If I was
well,
a public
you're
figure.
A real person, so I think that would help. If someone found this and they were, after they loved your children's book, they'd be like, man,
but don't let kids listen
actually,
to this. I'm like,
no,
R-rated.
But I mean, you say what you think and stuff, and I think that's important.
So, one also, yeah, think about like everybody online has a digital footprint now, and some of theirs is so embarrassing. Me and Joel were talking about that earlier, where he watches this guy on YouTube who wears a billboard saying what, like, men can't be women or children can't be consent.
Children can't consent to puberty blockers.
And he'll wear that billboard.
He's quite popular on YouTube. His name's Billboard Chris. He's a activist against puberty blockers and transgenderism, and he goes around, just to clarify, but go ahead.
Right. And so Joel was saying how, you know, some of these uni students and things, they come out and they're so cringy and embarrassing, their arguments and what they're saying, and knowing that that's going to be forever digitally recorded, you know, for posterity. And this guy has like millions of viewers. And he was saying, you know, when we were younger, we had cringy and embarrassing thoughts and opinions too, but it never got like recorded like it does today, where people record their own opinions. Think of TikTok. Imagine if you were 12 or 13 on TikTok. What embarrassing content you would be putting out right now. I mean, whoa. I can only imagine with myself, right? Oh, my God. And so,
back in the day, it was passing notes. You can't, someone got a hold of your note that you wrote. You learn pretty early. Don't pass notes about things.
Well, me and my girlfriends used to have notebook that we would share, and we pass it to each other between class. And during class, we'd write in this notebook. And I remember one time, I was making fun of this one girl, and then sure enough, she found the notebook because my one friend didn't pick it up and bring it, and she left it in her chair, and it was so embarrassing, so awkward. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, because she confronted me about it. I made fun of her because her pants ripped, and I thought that was funny. Like, that's not making fun of you as a person.
Her pants what?
Her pants ripped. She, like, bent over and her pants ripped, and that's funny. I wasn't making fun of her as a human.
Was she overweight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
I didn't mention that.
You're
the
high school bitch. I guarantee, I was such a loser. I guarantee I've married the high school bitch that I wouldn't have liked in high school and would have made fun of me.
I didn't mention she was fat. I just said, did you hear that Nika's pants ripped? That's really funny. Anyway, like, come on, it's funny. Like, come on, if it happened to me, it'd be funny. I never said it's because
she's you're not fat.
Super dorky girl got sprayed by a skunk. It smelled like literally, and she went to school. And
she
everyone
went to school
was
like
that.
That's her parents' fault.
Yeah, and I remember talking behind her back, but she was standing right there. I mean, I wasn't writing a note. I should have been able to smell her, but the smell lingered like crazy. And I just turned around. And I'm like, I wasn't making fun of her. But I was.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
it's like the scenario.
You don't go to school when you smell that way.
You don't. Yeah. You just don't. You don't go to school like that. That's true. I felt so bad. It happened just a few years ago. I was going to some fancy event, and I had to get some shoes to match my dress, like some strappy shoes. And so I was at like Marshall's or TJ Maxx or something, and my ankles are so skinny that nothing that goes around the ankle ever fits. It's all too wide. My feet are so narrow. It's so hard to find shoes, especially dainty ones that fit me. And so I was sitting there and I'm like, God, what is wrong? Like, all the shoes are just designed for fat people. Like, I can't find any shoes. Everything's just designed for fat people. And I look up and there's a fat girl right in front of me trying on shoes, and she makes eye contact with me at that exact moment. And I just like, oh, if I could blush, I would have. I just looked down, took the shoes off and walked away, because for all she knows, I saw her there and thinking, oh, she's having no trouble finding shoes. Look at this fat girl finding shoes. But it was so embarrassing because this happened very recently. If I was 13, I wouldn't have cared. But now, oh, I'm sorry, but it is hard when you're skinny to find things when everything's made for fat people, because everybody's fat. Because everybody's fat now, so everything's designed for fat people. And this is nothing against fat people. That's not an insult. It's just a fact. Period. Like, nobody's saying anything's wrong with fat people. It's just everything's fat, so when you're skinny, it's hard to find stuff.
Everything's fat.
It is.
That could be your catchphrase with a PH. Everything's fat.
Everything's fat, yeah.
Welcome to Saturdays with Sarah. Everything's fat.
PHAT, that means everything's cool.
Hey, so we went to surprise my mother-in-law. She's been going down to Florida, for 3+ months. For, I don't know, 15 years maybe or so. And she is, you guys got to come down here. You got to come here. And she has so many friends in this condo. She goes to the same place every year.
Oh, nice.
She's super popular and fun and plays bingo and euchre. Oh, cool. And she's just out there. She's having a great time. So we're like, all right, cool. Let's go down and surprise her. And she likes to play games. So she was playing a game at the pool when we got there. And we looked over the fence and we saw her there. So we went up to the condo on the second floor and hung out with Dad for half an hour.
All right, finish the story after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
So, we went out and hung out with Wayne's dad for maybe 20 minutes or so. And she had walked to the pool. It's a less than 10-minute walk. But she called up to the landline. He answers it. And she says, "I'm not feeling well. Can you come get me?" And he said, "Okay, we'll be there in a minute." And it was kind of like, he said, "We'll be there." So it just didn't really register with her. She was getting sick. When we got to the pool, she was literally throwing up over the fence into a bunch of plants. Blood sugar or something.
No.
She got really dizzy and faint. And so we show up to surprise her, and she's leaning over the fence, puking her guts out. So we're standing around, and all of her friends are hovering. And, you know, she wasn't feeling good earlier, and they gave her some cake, white cake. So there's like white cake puke everywhere, and it was just a nightmare. So we're just standing around waiting for her to turn around, you know, and it's just of all the moments and all,
yeah, of all the moments to come in. And then she's going to be shocked because she's expecting somebody to come help her. And then she turns around and it's you guys. And she's like, "What?"
Yeah. And Wayne came up behind her and goes, "Hey, lady, do you need some help?"
Oh, that's going to be nice.
Different voice. Yeah. And she's like, "No, my friends are here."
Quite the prankster, Wayne.
He really is. He even put his hand on her. "Hey, lady, you need some help."
Was he trying to sound like a tranny, or that's just your impersonation?
That's mine. But she's like, "No, my friends are here." You know, and then when she finally turned around, you know how it is. Your eyes are watering. You got to blow your nose. Yeah. It's just a nightmare. And it finally dawned on her, like, "Holy shit, you guys are here." Man. And she bounced back really quick. And
oh, good. Went to bingo, so it cheered her night. Up.
Yeah. I couldn't even believe it. Man, we flew all the way down there. And
88, like, two fat ladies and legs 11. Yes. Yeah. Forget about the throw up. Forget about the cake vomit.
That's funny that you would come at that exact moment.
It was just insane. Yeah.
Well, where do you live normally? What state?
I'm in Ohio.
Oh, okay. So that would be a nice vacation.
Confusion. But anyway,
nice vacation to go down.
Yeah,
to,
it was cool. I mean, literally, we were only there for. Yeah, I mean, it was 80, 85 or whatever, but it was.
No, warmer than Ohio.
Not that gross humid yet.
Yes, right. Well, yeah, it's coming. It comes about now in Florida, yeah. Unfortunately. But yeah, that's the problem with Florida, is it's just too humid. But
that's such a typical Florida retiree story, though, isn't it? That's
throwing up white cake.
No, not the white cake bit. Just Florida retirees in general. There's a much more relaxed attitude down there to drinking and having fun. Yeah,
well, she's a snowbird, so she comes down there for a couple months, and that's like her vacation with all her buddies. It's a good gig if you can get it. I don't have that kind of money.
And she has so many friends. I was thinking it's going to be, maybe in a way it already has been, but the more friends you have when you're old, yeah, your life is fun and everything, but they're all going to die.
Well, that's what with Joel's
name. I'm really happy that I don't have 50 friends, because now I don't have to go through.
I know. Exactly, all the mourning and loss and grief, and that's what with Joel's nan.
All the grief.
Joel's nan's going through the same thing, where she's the only vital one left. That she lives independently, she drives, she's totally great. She's like 86 years old, but all her friends are either dead or in homes with dementia or something. She laughs about it, but she says, "I don't really have any left. I hang out with this one young guy at the beach, and we chat sometimes because all my old friends are, you know." They're all going, because she was also a very social woman who had a lot of girlfriends that she's known for a long time from square dancing and stuff. But now they're all
line dancing, square
dancing. Yeah, I know.
What did she have? She had line dancing was one of them. She had there were 20 odd different activities.
Yeah, she was very social.
She was all those different social clubs. Yeah, it wasn't just line dancing. That's so there were cute. There was all these different clubs and things she was a part of over the years.
I'm so not like that. That sounds to me like anxiety. I don't want to. I was saying that to Joel today, because again, my mom was saying to me, oh, you just need to get some girlfriends. And this is one of my bugbears. It's one of my pet peeves. I just turned 35. And my entire adult life, I'd say, other women have been telling me I have got to get girlfriends. And it's a strange evangelism that I don't understand. Like, can't you just accept the fact that some people don't, like, what to you sounds fun, to me sounds terrible. Like, to think that I have to text Becky and, oh, Rachel, oh, no, no. Okay, Rachel, hey, you want to meet up? Oh, like, that gives me such anxiety. The last thing I want to do is go meet up with Rachel for coffee. I just, oh, I'll be such a bad friend. I'll never text them. I'll never call them. I just, once I hit about 15, I wanted a boyfriend. I want a friend, but I want the male energy. I like men. I like them. And I don't want a female. I don't know how to explain it. And I guess women who, after the age of 12, still need a lot of girlfriends around them, don't know what I mean. That, like, something about the female energy is just simply not what I want anymore. I have my mom and I have my sister, and that's great. And I get everything I need from them. When it comes to my one best friend, I want that energy to be male, period, end of story. And I don't know why other women can't accept that, and they think that it's wrong or dysfunctional. I have got to have girlfriends. To me, it sounds so immature. Little girls have girlfriends. Adults have husbands. Like, I don't get it. I don't want to have a sleepover and braid Becky's hair and talk about her day at work and her kids. I want to sit with my husband and be, like, soulmates.
Well, yeah, I mean, I totally get it. Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with people who like having girlfriends. I just think it's weird when they think everybody else must need them too, just because they like them, you know?
Right. Wouldn't you think, though, maybe even those girls who have girlfriends are still like, ugh. But they're just pretending to.
Well,
like,
I think when it's different is when you've known them for a long time. So if you went to school with them, college with them, if they're girls that you grew up with, then they become more like family. So, like, if I had stayed in touch with my best girlfriends from back when I was 10 years old, that would be great. Like, that would feel totally different, right? Because we're like sisters at this point. It's more like family. But going out at 35 and, like, making a girlfriend sounds fake. It sounds stupid. It sounds, why am I doing this? Like, why would I do that? What would we talk about? I don't even understand, like, what the point of that is. What would we do together? Like, I can't cuddle her. I can't hug her. I can't kiss her and tell her she's cute like I can with my husband. Like, that's the kind of socializing I want to have, is with a boy.
That'd be hot.
Ew, I couldn't even imagine.
Sarah, Becky, and Rachel. Where's Tiffany? Tiffany on here too.
But I didn't used to be like this when I was younger. I was extremely social and had lots of girlfriends and I loved all that. But I just feel like once I hit a certain age, I just wanted there's something that male counterpart gives you. It's a certain kind of deep bond that I can't quite get with the woman outside of family. Like, my mom and my sister have an extraordinarily deep bond with. But an outside female at this age, I don't know. It's like a man. There's something about men. They get me and I get them. I don't, because that's how God made it, right? Like, that's why he made us heterosexual. I was just going to say homosexuals. That's why he made us heterosexuals, because men and women complement each other. And once you pass puberty, you're supposed to want to be with the opposite sex, you know? I just get frustrated that everybody's like, Sarah, you need girlfriends. You need girlfriends. It's like, why do you think I need what you want? That's just one of those pet peeves.
Makes sense to me, man.
It's not that I have anything against girls. I am a girl. I love girls, but I love them for what they are. But for my friendship, guys understand me better. Let me put it that way. I feel awkward with women.
I feel weird too. I have a lot of chick friends, but I only see them if I go to like a concert or a show or whatever, local club type thing. And then it's like, oh my God, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm not going to talk to you tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, like that bestie thing, like, where we're like texting each other all the time. I don't really want to do that with a woman. But if there was a group of girls who wanted to like go party or something, maybe that'd be fun, I guess. But I mean, I don't have kids or anything, so I don't feel bad, but I guess. I just don't know.
Return of Living Dead, and that girl goes, I just want to party. She says that funny. I don't know if you know that movie.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Love that movie.
I feel like I must have seen that at some point. I went through a big phase. I know I talked about before a big phase a month or two ago of watching all these different horror movies. But I haven't felt like watching any since. That's why I was letting myself indulge, because I don't normally watch movies. And so all of a sudden I felt in the mood to just binge movies. So I'm like, well, I'll just do it, because I know I won't feel like doing this for another 2 years, 3 years. So I watched a ton of
them.
And you brought up that one you tried watching and shut off, Talk to Me. I just brought that one up to Joel tonight, the Australian one. With the hand, you know, where they grab the hand.
Yeah, that one freaked me out. I don't know what it was. It just, it gave me bad vibes or something.
All horror movies are bad vibes, right? It's all like evil stuff.
Most of them don't bother me. It's whatever. I appreciate, you know, a good killing scene just for the art of it or something. But, oh, something about that one I just didn't like. It was too real, and the head bashing thing.
Have the bashing thing, and that's something I notice is a trend in horror movies lately, is these weird head bashings. It's become, like I said, the last couple months I watched tons of horror movies, mostly within the past 10 years, and that is a trend, that is a trope, is something with the bashing of the head. And I feel like, I don't know what that symbolizes, but it's absolutely disgusting. You're right, because they make it so graphic. It's disgusting. I have to look away
at that
kind of stuff. Yeah, it's gross.
Mm. We watched Hunt for the Wilder People. Or is it Wilder or Wilder?
Oh,
I don't know.
I've heard of that one.
I loved it. It was one of those feel-good movies. And the scenery was beautiful.
Was that the New Zealand one?
Yes. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Anne and Brendan were watching that, Joel. That's the guy from Jurassic Park.
Sam Neill and Rick and Rollo were just talking about him earlier tonight, actually.
Oh, yeah, and it's just a little Aborigine boy, Maori, like an Islander boy. And I remember my sister had that on at her house one time. And yes, I also thought it was cute. I didn't watch it like focused from beginning to end, but it was on and I saw... We were watching it as we were talking over it, and it was cute, although I didn't like the thing with the dog.
Yeah, there's always a fucking
there's
dog
always that kind of thing. I don't like that where they do that. But yeah, it was funny and it was cute. But I don't really remember. I just remember there's these people looking for him, like trying to get the kid back or something. The woman died. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm glad she died early, because I really liked her. If she died at the end, I would have been more horrified.
I know. That's so true.
She didn't have to die at all. She could have just been in the whole damn movie. She was
funny. They have to have trauma. They have to have trauma, just like with a dog. I guess. Or maybe it's just dark comedy. Or it's just a way to get rid of a character so you don't have to worry about her later on. Like, how do I continue her story arc? It's like, she just dies.
That's right. It just came back to me. Yeah, the wife died, didn't she? I remember seeing that. I was there. I remember. Yeah.
Oh, you were there when it was on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I remember that now.
No, anyway, as much as I don't want to go, Joel has work at 5 a.m. So
I
have to go
I'm
make dinner.
I need dinner. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I have to go make dinner.
Oh, cool. My son's coming up. Yours is gone.
Yeah. And it's early.
I appreciate you guys.
He has to wake up, so.
It was fun just to come in and do a little hello, because we weren't ready to commit to a full show. We're actually disappointed we haven't had the time. I've just been working the weekends. And, like, ideally, Saturday night is the time to do the big soundboard thing. And I've been working all these Saturdays. I appreciate the weekend money, but it means I can't be here for those cool shows. So things have been a little bit quiet lately. Hopefully that will turn around maybe within the next month or so, I'm hoping. There's plenty more coming too. For anyone listening, there is plenty more coming on Truth Meets. I've got things in the works, like we're working on forums and mail out systems and a lot of stuff that isn't apparent just yet. Like, looking at the front end when you listen to a podcast or that, it might not be obvious, but I have been working away in the background improving things, and there's always underlying server infrastructure being improved and things being developed that will hopefully be forthcoming soon enough. So
cool.
This, yeah, just nice to drop by and have a little hello
nice
to Susie
say
and say hi, but we weren't really ready to commit to like a whole full show either.
Well, I mean, I could talk forever. Yeah, no. So it'll be good to end it anyway. Seriously, okay. Like somebody needs to cut me off. I've already been talking enough.
I know. I've been telling everyone we haven't really got the time, and we don't really have the time.
Well,
like, we're overindulging in a time we should probably shouldn't be talking.
Know.
I'm going to like stay up all night drinking and then go to work drunk. I'm like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah. Go have your dinner. Have a great night. And
thank you too for sending through that clip you made. Susie's, for anyone out there, Susie's been doing a little bit of audio editing and getting into the spirit of things. So that has been saved on the soundboard. So we'll have that ready for upcoming shows.
I was thinking about that Tool song where he made that recipe for cookies or something. It was, I don't know if you know, something about Ear Von Satan or something. It was a Tool song.
Doesn't
where
ring
he
a bell.
Talks like Hitler. He talks like Hitler, but he's really just repeating a recipe for cookies.
Oh.
Bake. But he says, like, in German, like, bake for 350 degrees. But that's not what he says. Unstein at a 350, blah, 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 blah. And it was just a recipe. And it sounds all evil. But
it sounds evil when you do the Hitler voice with it. Yeah.
No, I was like, oh, man, I got to do something with that adrenochrome thing. It was just
that's funny.
Cracked me up.
Well, we got to play that for sure. Well, hopefully we have a chance soon where Joel doesn't have work.
I tried to keep it at 2 minutes, and then I'm like, I have to keep it under 3 minutes.
Sorry, I just had to put some Hitler yelling in there. Always illustrates the
nice.
Point.
Nice. All right. Have a good night, you guys.
You too, Susie.
Bye,
we'll
Susie.
Talk
Thanks
to you soon.
By.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Later.